1300 872911.
Well, 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 starting a little bit earlier today because we've got a very special guest. I'll introduce him in just a moment. If you picked up Saturday's Cairns Post, you'll know all about this. And the happiest bloke in town would have been our Mayor Bob Manning. In an article by Bronwyn Farr, it reads, Cairns will soon have an arts precinct to rival the city of Hobart's world-class offering. With the federal government poised to announce a $10 million contribution towards Mayor Bob Manning's long-held cultural district dream. Now, the funds to be matched by the council mean long-mooted plans for an Indigenous art gallery will become a reality. An arts or cultural precinct has long been desired by council and residents, and particularly our mayor, with packed public meetings a decade ago and concept design designs bandied about over the years. I won't come on with all the details of this, but it does say they've been searching for co-funding from all levels of government for the $40 million project. So there you've got it. Now, it says the federal government is poised to make the announcement. Well, they're making the announcement at this moment because I have the Deputy Prime Minister in the studio. He's also Minister Infrastructure, Transport, Regional Development, Leader of the Nationals, Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack. Good morning and welcome.
And good morning to you as well.
You know, the happiest bloke in town is our Mayor Bob Manning.
Well, closely followed by Warren Inch, and so between them, Bob, of course, had the vision, and Warren's got the determination and the application to make it happen, and he's got me all the way up here to the tropical far north, although I haven't been for a swim this morning, but I feel as though I have. I'm drenched.
Look, I've got to say, Bob Manning, our mayor, I think he was almost despairing at some stage because it's been a hell of a long battle.
Oh, he's a good man, Bob. I've known him for many, many years, and when he gets his mindset on something, he's hard to shake. And I know this is going to be such a boon for Cairns. And like on a day like today, when people aren't probably going to go swimming, when they're, you know, they're not limited by what they can see and do because this is a great place. But I tell you what, you have an art and Aboriginal museum precinct that it's going to attract tourists. And even people who come to Cairns, they're not all going to go swimming. Some of them are going to be grey nomads. They're going to want something other than just the normal touristy things to do. They're going to go and want to see this international class museum. And so that's why we're putting $10 million into it as part of the economic recovery partnerships with several regions right across the country. But when they became available, I know how much Warren Inch sort of advocated and campaigned and fought for the fact that Cairns had done it tough through COVID, through the fact they didn't have their normal international tourist visitors. And it just made sense that this area was one of those areas which was going to get that $10 million, and it made sense that Bob Manning's vision could become a reality.
It's interesting, you know, because the spear throwers came out of the woodwork. It's like every community. Not everybody is into the arts. You know, a lot of, I don't know, it doesn't matter, I won't nominate which particular sectors of the community, but not everyone's into the arts. They're saying, what about stuff we all need?
Yeah, but there'll be narcs in heaven. I mean, seriously, if you laid gold nuggets out, people would complain. Some would want diamonds. I mean, that's just the very nature of humans. But you can't all be sport, and you can't all be one through another. You've got to have a diverse mix of offerings to get and attract tourists, and to get them back. And when they go home, they could tell others, "Oh, gee, that." That Kansas Cosmo, what a place to go.
Yeah.
It's got everything. It's got everything that your little heart could desire as far as to going swimming and enjoying the sunshine. Not that there's much today, but it's also got that culture. It's got that feel-good culture aspect about it. It is a city with everything.
You should be advertising us. I'm going to send a tape of this discussion to Margie Osmond this
morning. Should do that. Well, it is. And I love Cairns. I've come up here often. Warren Inch is a good mate of mine. And, you know, Queensland, you know, when you think of it, you do think of sitting by the beach, sitting by the pool, enjoying the sunshine, but it has so much more to offer. And I know, coming from a place like Wagga Wagga, they call it the City of Good Sports, but it has a National Art Glass Museum, and you know, a lot of people just come for that. They don't just come to see the city where Steve Mortimer and Peter Stirling and Michael Slater and Mark Taylor came from. They come to see the culture aspect of things, and regional cities have to have a bit of everything. They have to be diverse. They have to be mixed. And that's what Cairns offers, and certainly with this $10 million investment by the federal government made possible because of Warren Inch, this is going to be what it is.
Don't go away. I need to tap into your, if you like, your crystal ball. When it comes to our national borders, you are indeed the Minister for Transport.
I am.
Talking to the people at top levels about when those borders might reopen. Mm. Now, today we're celebrating New Zealand.
JQ201, due to land in New Zealand at 11:20. And I know, Kiora, they're going to be ready and willing and waiting and embracing with open arms all those wonderful Aussies are going to go to across the Dutch to New Zealand.
Gee, you've done your homework. You don't know when the first one's landing in Cairns, I suppose. I'm going to be talking to the airport a little bit later, but it's a fair way down the track.
It is. But, you know, bit by bit, baby steps, we'll get there. And this is the first step along the way to some sort of pre-COVID normality, getting back to where we need to be. Mm. And we open up a travel bubble with New Zealand. Mm. Who knows? It could be Singapore next. It could be one of the South Pacific Islands. It could be, oh, I don't know, South Korea, Japan. I shouldn't start naming countries. But
yes, you should.
We're in those discussions with Singapore at the moment. We'll work towards when it's safe to do so. But all the way through, we've taken the best possible medical advice. Mm. That's what Australians would expect. We need to keep those health outcomes, that safety aspects of Australians. They've been magnificent, particularly regional Australians, because they've had to endure decisions made in far-off capital cities, which probably hasn't had, a great lot of love in places such as this. And I come from Wagga Wagga. It's a long way from Sydney. But we've also had the effects of the shutdowns and the lockdowns in inner Sydney. But Australians, regional Australians, have complied with what they've been asked to do, and they have been magnificent.
You're going to get a wind-up in a minute, but your regional development, just if you've got a moment, where are we going in North Queensland?
Well, I'm told that the departing flight, Cairns to Auckland, is on the 7th of June. So there you go. There's a bit of there's a first. There's a first for your listeners. Departing flight, 13:50. That tells me that's 10 to 2 in the afternoon, arriving at New Zealand time, 20:35. That tells me that's 8:35. Yeah. So there you go.
You're still a bit further away than we would have chosen, but that's fine.
Still, it's not far away.
Fundamentally, Warren would be at you from time to time about, irrigation needs, et cetera, dams, et cetera, here.
Lakeland and all the rest.
Yes, thank you. Where are we going with these? I mean, I know money's short, but we've been on a long queue up here.
Well, money's not short. We've got $3.5 billion in the National Water Infrastructure Development Fund. We've got the National Water Grid Authority set up. It's been in operation for well over 12 months now, headed up by Chris Lynch. I want to build water infrastructure, whether it's dams, whether it's weirs, whether it's pipelines. I want to work in good faith with Glenn Butcher. He's the new minister for water. I want to get things done. Let's put the politics aside. Let's put the people first. Let's put the farmers first. Let's put those irrigation needs of our farmers. Because if we're going to grow agriculture by the year 2030, have that $100 billion investment by have that sector producing $100 billion worth of agriculture, we can't do it without having more water infrastructure.
What about getting water up over the Great Barrier Reef, the Great Range, by the way, Dividing Range? This has been around since, I think, 1938, and it's been revived recently. Has it got any chance of
getting
out of
the line? You're talking about the Bradfield scheme?
Yes.
Oh, well, let's get water in the right places for those local areas before we start talking about getting Queensland water running out of the mouth of the Murray. That's probably not going to happen anytime soon. I mean, if it was going to happen, it probably would have happened in 1938 when Bradfield came up with the scheme, and when they revised it in 1942. Albeit, well, I appreciate we're in a war situation then, it would have been done back then before, you know, we had all the environmentalists and before we had all those obstacles which got in the way. But we can build water infrastructure in the right places to harness the water where it is, to harvest it when it's dry. And, we look at Australia, we've got 85% of the water infrastructure down the bottom half of the country and 85% of the rain falls up here. So we need to get that balance a little bit better.
I'm getting the wind-up here just before you go.
I've got to talk to the Prime Minister at 9 o'clock, okay. so I'll give him your regards.
This is a quick one. Opposition Resources Spokesman, page one Australian Today. You'll be thrilled about this. The Opposition Resources Spokeswoman, Madeleine King, has said Labor will not stand in the way of new mines and believes Australia will export coal beyond 2050 as the party moves to recast itself as a middle ground option in the climate change wars.
I believe that when I see it. Look, I'd like Anthony Albanese to stand up in Marrickville or Balmain or Newtown, somewhere in his electorate today, at one of those cafes and espouse those very words and say that Labor's committed to coal. and do it in front of his own constituents, he won't. He'll say something in Moranbah and Mackay. He'll say something completely different in those inner city electorates where it's not popular to support resources. We do support resources in the Liberals and Nationals. We support, moreover, the jobs that they create, the export opportunities that they generate, and the power that they produce. Labor does not. It'll say one thing in inner city Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane. They'll say something completely different when they're out standing next to a hard hat and a high-vis worker out in the regions.
Talking about people doing their homework, finally, too, your fearless leader, the Australian Prime Minister, he's a tower of strength under this absolutely incredible weight of pressure every day, particularly from the media. And he doesn't need the
notes. I know the feeling.
There you go. But he doesn't need the notes, and he's across all the issues. I don't know how the hell he's got the energy at the moment. They're coming from every direction.
He's got a brain as big as a wheat silo, but moreover, he's a man of integrity. He's a man of purpose. It's been very difficult since he's become the Prime Minister. Of course, there have been a number of natural disasters. There's been a global pandemic, which no one would have thought, would have even been possible, but he's led our nation, but also Australians have been their best selves too, and I take Australians should be very mindful of the fact that they have kept this global pandemic to case rates which are very low, death rates which are world's best. Yes, we've lost 910 people, and we mourn for those families and their loved ones. But compare Australia to any other country. I know where I'd rather live. We've been great. Thank you to Australians. Thank you particularly to regional Australians and regional Queenslanders for doing just that.
When you walk out, you'll be talking in 1 minute from now with Scott Morrison. Can you pass on the fact that you just announced to the people of North Queensland, Scott, you've got a brain as big as a wheat silo. I love your regional terms. That's terrific. That's terrific.
No worries at all. Will do.
Great to have you in the studio. Michael McCormack, the Deputy Prime Minister in town today, making that big announcement on the gallery. We're going to national news. We'll be doing talk right after the news.